This is Supply Chain Innovators, the show that helps supply chain leaders get ahead of the curve and prepare the organizations for the rapid trends that lie ahead. I'm your host, Taylor Camarena. Let's jump in. Hello, today I'm speaking with Avi Moskowitz, the CEO and co-founder of Pretty Damn Quick, a logistics company built for e-commerce companies. Very excited to hear how you are bringing logistics to the new age, Avi. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me, Taylor.
I'm excited to learn more about Pretty Damn Quick, but before we dive in, will you start us off with a bit about you and your background?
Sure. So today I'm actually splitting my time between Tel Aviv and Israel and New York, which is where our sales are focused. And in Tel Aviv, we have our product R&D team and part of our support team. But living in Israel, I actually, prior to Pretty Damn Quick, had a very different business life. And I had opened a craft beer brewery. After many years of starting up companies, took a bit of a detour, and I opened a craft beer company in Israel called Beer Bazaar. If you're ever in these parts, feel free to come out. And we'll give you a proper introduction to craft beer in Israel, which not very different from American craft beer. So that's where I started. And ultimately, that's kind of what led us to Pretty Damn Quick today. So my background has been starting up companies, took a bit of a detour, opened a craft beer company. In the process of launching our craft beer company online, hit a bunch of snags with logistics, fulfillment, and delivery, realized that there's a real need in the market, built something for ourselves that ultimately became a product that we offered to other companies. And today we're fully launched in the US, have over 100 brands that are using us, some really great brands. And we're really finding that we're meeting a much needed piece of the puzzle for e-commerce brands.
Wow. Were you in e-commerce companies before this company?
So with Beer Bazaar, it's the first time we had a Shopify store, but I've been involved in e-commerce in many different ways up until that point. Opening up a craft beer brewery meant that I was spending more of my energy on retail and building a brewery and many of the things that are very different than the classic startup world. Mm-hmm. But I still had the benefit of being able to have a startup culture. And I think that applies virtually to any business. Doesn't matter what kind of business you're running. You can still bring the core ethos and the approach to running a startup to virtually any business, but obviously very different than running a technology company or even a straight e-commerce business. But yeah, I was selling product online before, mostly with proprietary software. And then we launched on Shopify with Beer Bazaar. And that's where a lot of those challenges became very evident to me.
Well, before we jump into innovation, I'm just curious, what type of beer is it in Israel? Like IPAs or hazy?
Yeah. So one of the things that attracted me to the industry is, one is I had been traveling. I'm traveling again now, but I have been traveling extensively before, and I was looking to take a little break from traveling. And craft beer, unlike high tech, is somewhat localized. You brew it in Israel, you sell it in Israel. Most of our audience is based in Israel, but we did bring the American culture of craft beer to Israel and have managed to create a pretty wide range of beers, including the IPAs, amber ales, lagers, wheats. We also do all kinds of fun infusion beers like fruit infusion. We've even done some stuff with CPD and a variety of things. So one of the fun things, you mentioned innovation. One of the fun things about beer as a platform, it really does invite innovation. We put out two new styles every month. So there's always something brewing. I had to say that. But it does drive innovation and in many ways has a very fast cycle of listening to the customer, the changing requirements or wants of the market and being able to adapt to that quickly, you know, lower alcohol, lower carbs, and just adjusting to the market as the market tends to adapt to different tastes and flavors, and even just health awareness. So it's been a great ride. It's a great business, a great innovation platform. It's been a lot of fun. And I knew that I wouldn't be doing it forever. It led us to the next venture, which was back to technology, providing solutions using technology, with a heavy emphasis on the Shopify ecosystem.
That is an awesome story. And I do love beer, so it's even cooler.
We'll have to get you over here.
Yeah. Well, let's chat innovation. So apart from you and your company, you know, who do you think is the most innovative company in supply chain? And like, what do you admire most about them? And it could be anything.
So, I mean, there's so much innovation when it comes to supply chain. I think there's so much innovation that we've seen today and so much that's coming, a lot in the form of last mile delivery, which has an extraordinary set of challenges in trying to understand where a particular customer is going to be at any given time, what the traffic conditions are, weather conditions, all the different variables that suddenly get compressed when you promise someone delivery in a matter of hours versus a number of days. You've seen what's gone on with supply chain over the last 2 or 3 years and how crazy things are, even with, you know, weeks of time when you're shipping containers from one country to another. Here, you're not just compressing it down to a week or a couple of days. You're talking about hours. So last mile delivery, I think in a general category, requires a tremendous amount of innovation. So companies in that space, certainly like the DoorDashes and folks like them who, and there are many others, many new ones that we've started to work with that have come up with really innovative ways of using hub and spoke to be able to optimize for distribution, be able to put a truck in the middle of the city and then distribute from the truck. There are a lot of companies out there, Halify, Carry, DoorDash, literally by the day, CloudSort. All these companies, and there are many of them and many of whom we already integrate with, that provide an innovative way of solving a problem. And last mile delivery not only is a problem when it comes to the challenges of deploying, but not having last mile delivery as an option means that using traditional carriers who are wasting incredible amounts of our much sought after resources here on Mother Earth by sending out to their hub and spoke, maybe in Memphis somewhere or in outskirts of the city, you have all that flying time, all that distance, all the wastage that revolves around that travel, where someone can get on an electric bike and travel a half a mile and have a package get from one point to the other. It sounds easier than it actually is, but the efficiencies that it introduces are significant. The innovations that are required to make that happen in a way that makes sense economically and also provides a good customer experience are really there. But there are a lot of people that are nipping away at the problem, and we're going to see much more of this innovation in the coming years.
Yeah, I agree. It's really exciting. I remember when GoPuff, so fast, you can get it in, I think it's like 30 minutes or less, is some of these brand slogans.
So the one thing I would say about that, Taylor, is on the one hand, the last mile delivery and the speed of delivery is critical. I would call it right speeding as opposed to like the fastest speed. You saw many of these businesses, Fridge No More and many brands that didn't quite survive as a result of the promised speeds. And then people would order an apple or a bottle of water. And it's not sustainable, obviously. And part of that means really getting people the right product at the right price at the right time. And it isn't necessarily like hyperspeed. It just means that for the right person, if I'm heading on a flight tonight, and I need a product, I'm willing to pay for it. And that makes sense. And we'll get it to you. I love the idea of having that option. But if I know that I'm going to kill a forest in the process, maybe I won't need it as much, you know, and I would wait. So it's factoring in speed, cost, and eco impact. I think when you really look at those three things and innovatively solve for that, you're going to find that customers are going to be a lot more amenable to whatever it is that you're offering.
Mm-hmm. I would love to talk more about Pretty Damn Quick and how you utilize all of this. So do you have anything else maybe on the backstory before we jump into the nitty gritty?
Sure. So I left the technology world for a couple of years to build out the brewery and build out locations. Today we have 8 locations distributed around Israel and we have a brewery and all that great stuff. And that was, you know, literally building out a business on the ground. And then suddenly we were reintroduced to the world of Shopify. And I was just very surprised how none of the tools had evolved in the years since I left the e-commerce ecosystem. And I was just looking for basic tools like help me manage my orders, help me formulate a checkout that can clearly communicate delivery expectation to customers and help me produce shipping labels. And, you know, so what I found was a very odd collection of apps that kind of had to be glued together to give me some basic functionality, but it was sorely lacking. And looking at the gaps in that market, the opportunity became very clear to me that there's a need and an opportunity to build something that's going to make that a lot more cohesive and provide a solution that doesn't really exist today.
Can you walk us through the process of Pretty Damn Quick? So yeah, maybe like for an example of a company that you onboard.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we began facing the problem ourselves with our own brand, the first thing that was apparent to me is the discrepancy between the experience on an independent brand site and what you would see on Amazon. So Amazon, to me, I've been using Amazon for years, and the consistency of the delivery promise throughout the purchasing process. So on the product page, it would say, you can expect delivery by, and show you some of those options. That encourages you to take the next step because you have a sense of when you're getting the delivery. And then on checkout, having the different options clearly spelled out, arrives by dates, everything there is extraordinarily clear. So that's what we would call promise what you deliver, right? Starting at the product page all the way through checkout is where you formulate your promise. And making that promise crystal clear has a significant impact on conversion. Amazon says you can impact your conversion on checkout by 33% if you do your checkout right, which means formulate the promise and then ultimately deliver on that promise. So the first gap that was very apparent to us was how Amazon formulates their promise up until the point of checkout and through checkout. And then the second part of it is the way they deliver on that promise. You can virtually, you know, set your clock to what it is that Amazon promises. And when they don't deliver, they're very quick to keep you updated if there are delays, if there's an impact, and of course, make things right when things occasionally go wrong. That whole experience gives people confidence to go there as their first choice. If something exists on Amazon, that's where they'll buy it. We created this tool to provide independent brands, including ourselves, an opportunity to compete with them. Because if someone's looking at Amazon and they're going to get that great experience, how can I provide a similar kind of experience for an independent brand? So what that means in terms of me as a brand, I now have a solution with Pretty Damn Quick where I can formulate a very clear delivery promise on checkout. It does a lot of, there's a lot of smarts under the hood that helps you understand who's the customer, what product is it, where's it getting shipped to, what are my options for delivery? We look at a lot of those things before we present the delivery promise to the customer. In that process, we're also optimizing for speed and cost. We're also looking at things like, what kind of customer are you? Are you a first-time buyer, a returning buyer? Are you a subscriber? So we're able to tailor the delivery promise that we're presenting to you based on all the different factors, including the customer, product, where it's getting shipped to, and even the time of day. Surprisingly, you know, in today's day and age, we're in 2023, you can still go to a website, order on Saturday, and it'll say things like 3 to 5 days. And so it's Saturday, I place the order, I'm counting Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So what typically happens, the customer calls on Monday and says, where's my order? And they'll say, it's Monday, I just got your order. So you're going to get it like Thursday, Friday. And already you're starting off with not the best relationship with a customer, and especially today, where the cost of acquiring new customers is so expensive, we have to find better, more efficient ways to retain customers and build on those relationships. And that's a big part of what we do. So once you have formulated the promise on the product page and on checkout, which is part of what our platform provides, the second part of the equation is we help you manage that order with order management tools, fulfillment, delivery, take you through the entire process, including tracking, communicating with customers. And we do all of this to a great extent by ourselves, but we also integrate with other platforms like Klaviyo and Gorgeous and a host of others that expand the relationship and the communication so that you can rely on one platform to achieve a whole bunch. The analogy I would use that might help kind of crystallize all of this is not only are we like providing an Amazon-like experience to independent brands, but e-commerce actually existed before Shopify. It just was very painful, right? So if you were a brand and you wanted to open up an e-commerce store before Shopify, you would have to piece together a lot of different parts. You'd need a product page, a cart, a checkout page, a payment gateway, and then a host of other tools like how do I handle upselling and messaging and free shipping. And so you ended up with a collection of potentially dozens of different apps that you glued together, or you hired a custom developer to build these things out. So it's very expensive, very timely, not scalable. And anytime you needed change, you had to bring developers in. that's to a great extent what the world of logistics, fulfillment, and delivery look like today. If you want to formulate a delivery promise, you need a developer to do all kinds of funky things on your checkout, which may affect your core checkout and may actually break it. We're not changing anything. We're using the native Shopify checkout to accomplish this. If you want to be able to do order management and be able to split orders or handle orders differently or hold orders because it's a pre-order or it's out of stock. If you want to handle including a gift note or brochures, if you want to be able to handle different messaging to different customers, if you want to be able to provide upsell opportunities even after the order comes in, if you want to integrate with your 3PL so that your customers continue having visibility, even after the order gets to the 3PL. We're dealing with hundreds of different situations. Some are edge cases, but most of them are not, where we're providing the tools to brands to be able to ensure that the promise they made in checkout, they're actually living up to. And, you know, just this past Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we got through that weekend with a 98.6% on time, meaning as promised delivery, which is, which actually, according to Amazon's numbers, was better than Amazon. And it's not because we're delivering faster. It's because we're communicating. The communication that we're making in the checkout is a realistic promise. Mm-hmm. It's a somewhat aggressive promise, but we're able to come up with a promise that we know the brand will be able to live up to. And we do that with some intelligence because we look at historically, how long does it take the brand to pick and pack and get an order out? And we build that into the promise time. We can look at the time of day. We can look at weekends and understand a weekend. Like when you get to an independent brand and you see that message that says 4 to 6 days or 4 to 6 business days, most people don't know what that means. Like, what's your business day? Do you work every day, every other day? And are you factoring the time it takes to get your orders ready? So there's a lot of missed information or missing information in communicating that expectation. By making that crystal clear, it has a really significant impact. And we're trying to educate the market. And I think there's more and more messaging coming out these days that's communicating the importance of formulating a delivery promise and then living up to that delivery promise. That translates into a higher conversion on checkout, better customer retention, higher cart value, lower shipping costs, and for a host of reasons. But just as an example, if you're coming into the site and I know that my carrier picks up at 5 o'clock, and I know if I get your order by 2 o'clock, I'm able to prioritize the pick and pack, get it out the same day, have a lower cost to me as a brand because I'm able to ship it out today and not lose the day tomorrow and then have to pay for expedited shipping because I promised the customer. So just by managing those different levers, it can have a big impact. And then, of course, by integrating with last mile carriers, we can provide much faster delivery where it's justified. And it just provides a very different experience. And fortunately for us, we live in a world where there's Amazon. I mean, we know what that experience is and really what it should be. It's much harder for brands to pull off, but it doesn't mean that the customer expects anything less.
What type of companies do you work with? Is it mostly like, you know, DHL, FedEx that everybody's shipping out to, or do you work with smaller delivery companies if people live around the company?
So the way we look at it is we look at what the customer's needs are. We look at what the brand themselves are capable of doing, fulfilling. And some of them, it's probably a mistake to start day one with last mile delivery because you need to be operationally ready for doing that, but we help them get ready. But in terms of delivery companies, we really support virtually everybody. So we support international, of course, domestic, regional, local, and last mile. We also support options like pick up from store, pick up from locations, or deliver from store. That's the place where there's a lot of room for providing the customer a really enhanced experience, delivery experience. Because we're connected to all those different options, that means the customer is able to come in and be presented with those options that are most relevant to them, which means they'll be more inclined to buy. The delivery side, in terms of the brands that we work with, today we're mostly focused on folks that are using Shopify, brands that are using Shopify, that are selling physical goods. That means they have physical locations. We provide the most value to brands that are shipping 2,000 or more orders per month. Typically, that's about $2 to $3 million a year in revenue minimum, but we go up to, you know, billion-dollar brands. We're not limited by size or scope. We love challenges and unique situations. So we handle things like split orders and unusual workflows within the fulfillment process. We integrate with 3PLs. So whether you're doing self-fulfillment, you're using a 3PL, all those are available. But other than that, well, we take on any brand and we're here to provide value virtually from day one.
Speaking of Amazon, so yesterday, our Labradoodle, very fluffy dog, right? We let it get natted and worse and worse and worse. So they had to shave her. So she's basically naked right now. And we're going to the snow this weekend. So we needed to buy a snowsuit because her legs are tiny, tiny. So I felt so bad. So I was looking on Amazon last night. I pulled up every dog website for darn snowsuits because I needed it by Thursday or Friday. And Amazon was the only one, of course, that had, you know, typically will come between 2 to 3 days. Everybody else said nothing. So I had to go through the full checkout process. And still, it didn't even tell me when it was actually going to be delivered. And I did that with at least 3 different companies, went through the whole process and then nothing. And then I just gave up and ended up having to use Amazon. That wasn't my first choice or the first, you know, snowsuits that I wanted. But it's pretty incredible how companies aren't doing that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I wish I can broadcast the message on the moon, you know, or standing up like that crazy man in the middle of city center and just yelling the message because it's so clear. But there is an explanation. And I think we've been conditioned as brands over the years to focus on the top of the funnel. Bring me more customers. How can I get more customers? And this is kind of how we're wired. And even though this whole huge change that's taken place with Apple and ultimately how that affected the advertising and how much more expensive it is today to acquire customers and the economics really don't work. They're broken. Even with that, I think the shift will come faster, but it's surprising how long it's taking. So, you know, we've really been emphasizing, even though the entire platform is critical, the way that we start is typically by getting people involved in our checkout, showing them how the delivery promise and just having the checkout configured properly can have a material impact on their business. And then once that's set, it becomes obvious to them that the rest of the platform is going to provide significant value as well. But because the checkout takes under an hour to deploy, the benefit becomes very real very quickly. And then we're able to gradually roll out the rest of the platform as well. But to a great extent, it's been hard to do. Honestly, it's not like, there was an obvious solution out there and they didn't take it. Similar to what I had described earlier with Shopify, there wasn't an easy solution for doing e-commerce until Shopify came along. So there is something very transformational in what we're doing here. We really believe in it. We're passionate about it. And having been brands ourselves and merchants ourselves, we know what the trauma is of facing a customer after you've done everything right. You created the perfect product. You know, everything about your business is just right. And then we fail in that last piece. And you start to realize how critical that last piece is to the entire equation. And without it, you've really wasted so much money on the acquisition, on the awareness and everything else because you disappointed the customer.
Before this, I worked in advertising in New York City. And definitely everybody puts all their money into the very, very top. And then I don't know what happens after that because I was only at the very top. but
much less emphasis. Yeah,
exactly.
Much less emphasis. I'm starting a movement. What we're starting it today, Taylor.
And I love the name. Your branding is absolutely incredible.
So honestly, when we entered this market, there were solutions out there. It wasn't like we invented a shipping solution. You know, before Shopify, there were e-commerce solutions. It's just their legacy, very painful. There's no support. So in looking at names, the obvious name would have something related to delivery or shipping in it. And we just said there are so many shippy products out there. We don't want to be another one in that category, not just shippy, ship, ship. So we came up with something that actually doesn't reflect the speed of delivery, although we do believe that over time, delivery is going to get faster and faster, autonomous vehicles, drones, etc. But a lot of it has to do with our culture as a business of being extremely responsive to the market. Because delivery is evolving, because it's an innovative category, and there's always new technology to help things run more expeditiously, happen faster. That means we as an organization need to be built to respond with software and solutions that can react to the market very quickly. So where some companies out there in the space may release a version out once a year or maybe even longer than that, our sprints are typically every 10 days to 2 weeks. That means they're releasing new software every 10 days to 2 weeks. It's a culture that we built within the organization that says, these brands really need us. They need what we're providing, and we need to have that agility to respond to the market quickly. Otherwise, there'll be some gap that we're leaving them with that's going to be costly, either in profits or and somewhere along the line for the organization.
Wow, that was my next question was, how do you differentiate yourself between, you know, competitors? So just from my understanding, do you work with Shopify or are you guys like competitors with Shopify?
No, we're very close and integrated with Shopify, where we rely on Shopify as the e-commerce platform. So if you look at us, it's literally two parts to solving the e-commerce puzzle. So where Shopify begins and ends is in the digital world. So you want to see a snow outfit for your dog, you're able to go into the website, you'll see it, you'll have, you know, product pictures, videos, pricing, all the information, and all the way through checkout, right? So Shopify will take you all the way through that point. We begin at checkout, but that's only where we start. We actually start on the product page because we make the delivery promise on the product page as well. But we really, our work begins on the checkout, and then we continue where the digital world meets the physical world. And that's really, that's where the challenges start coming in. Like, now you have boxes. What box sizes? You know, how many products can I fit into a box? These are all the challenges we're dealing with. And that's why we need Shopify to do what they're doing, because they're really great at creating the e-commerce experience that gets customers to buy. But once that order is placed or during the checkout process, we have to get involved to ensure that whatever happens when we're physically dealing with the product is going to be managed effectively and efficiently. So it's yin and yang. You know, Shopify handles the digital world, gets the orders in. We begin and then we handle that all the way through to delivery while continually communicating with Shopify so that it's a coherent, cohesive process. You don't have to manage two systems. They work as one. And we really complete a very important part of what Shopify until today doesn't really address.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense now. I'd love to know the time frame. So when a company starts using you guys onboards, what's the onboarding time frame?
Sure. So it's one of the things that we've been working on is showing the impact of the system as quickly as possible. So when you think about everything, checkout to delivery, there are many different parts of the puzzle. And fortunately, we make it easier for brands to begin benefiting from our solution very quickly by just starting with checkout. When you deploy our checkout, which is natively integrated into Shopify, it's not like a separate standalone. It's Shopify's checkout with significant enhancements to it. You can typically have that running within an hour and even less, which means that you'll already start to benefit from an understanding of what it means to enhance your checkout and optimize it to generate more revenues. That's step number one, and it can happen on the day that we speak to you. The second part of this process, which is deploying it for fulfillment and delivery, can take a bit longer. Depends on whether you're using a 3PL. We have a large library of integrations with 3PL, so many of the ones can happen relatively quickly. If you happen to have a 3PL, is third-party logistics company. Those are the companies that help companies that don't do their own fulfillment have it fulfilled. We've done integrations with them to make that process smoother. But typically, if you have the rest of those pieces in place, you'll find that the entire platform can get deployed within a week or two. Again, it depends on the complexity, and we run at your pace. I would say probably the biggest value add is not the technology, not the platform, not the speed, not the beautiful looking UI UX, but I would say we're human driven technology, which means that as a brand, we understand that you're coming in with, you don't have the expertise of logistics, fulfillment, and delivery. You don't have the expertise of how to optimize checkout. That's what we do. So we make ourselves very available to you. So it's really a consultative approach, but we'll work with you to help you understand whatever it is you want to understand. But for the most part, we become a trusted partner that will solve all of this for you. And by knowing that there's someone available all the time and holding your hand, and we'll be there to back you up every step of the way, that's really important. And the other thing we do is we partner with some great agencies, e-commerce agencies, who provide that extra layer. They know our platform. They provide the additional level of service. So at the end of the day, it's about humans and it's about getting people comfortable with something that's not easy and obvious to understand. They say after death, moving, and taxes, logistics is a close fourth. And I believe it. And we're here to really help you through it.
That's a good one. How about a delivery profitable? I see, like on the website, can you kind of explain how that works?
Sure. So part of what happens when you're focused on top of funnel and you don't pay attention to what happens after the order comes in, you'll find yourself, and if you look in, you know, social media, you'll see plenty of examples where boxes come in, even from Amazon, where you'll find a lighter inside this massive box that, you know, can hold a sofa. Mistakes like that will happen when you don't have a system or platform that helps you optimize for the products that are coming in. So starting with that, where right away, you can imagine the cost of transferring a box. It's based on dimensional weight. You look at the box, you look at a lighter, you're paying for air. That gets very expensive. To what happens if you don't get an order out and before the cutoff, before the carrier comes in, what it costs you to expedite that order and how you manage your delivery to choose the right carrier at the best price for this particular product. By taking all those things into consideration and a whole lot more, you're going to find that delivery, which up until this point was a cost center for you, can actually become a profit center. And the way you do that is in the delivery promise, when you're presenting the order, you're able to present it with the right pricing. Now, there may be situations that warrant free shipping. And if you've done the math, which we do for you, we can help you determine what the right shipping threshold should be for free shipping. You know, at what point, how much should the cart be? And what should the order size be to ensure that you have profitability, but you can afford to provide that free shipping? And when you're charging customer shipping, you're able to make sure that you're covering your costs. And we're able to provide you with correlation between the actual costs and what you're charging the customer using live rates and other means to ensure that you're not going to lose money. So those are just some examples. It's a wide collection of things that we put together to ensure that when you're done, you're creating a profitable environment for yourself, a good experience for the customer. But we do transform what typically is seen as a cost center into a profit center.
Gotcha. That's amazing.
Thanks.
What makes you the most excited about its future?
Yeah, I mean, look, COVID kind of gave us this feeling like the whole world is going online, right? Which is a little scary because,
is a good and bad, right? For you, I guess.
Yeah. But the world said we can't absorb it, right? A whole bunch of things crashed while we suddenly exploded. We happened to be very fortunate because we had a brand that literally launched its Shopify site the day that COVID shut down everything else and we went online. So I was standing in the shoes of a brand on the day that COVID hit, and suddenly I knew what it was like to get this crazy number of orders that we have to fulfill and this whole concept of promising delivery. I was living it, and that's part of the trauma that drives who I am every day. So when you think about, you know, where e-commerce was and where e-commerce is, sure, there's been more of a recent coming back to reality, but it went from like significant growth to like explosive growth, and now it's back to significant growth again. So, well, I'm really excited because we're really at the early days of e-commerce. You know, we had the sense that, oh my God, it's going to take over the world. And I think it's a good thing it did because it needs more time to get more mature and develop the kinds of tools that are necessary to support that kind of growth. But when you think about where we are today, it's really the early days. There's so much more that's coming. And for me, that's incredibly exciting. Besides, you know, the innovative delivery methods that are going to get the product out faster, I think the overall customer experience is going to continue getting closer and closer to that original retail experience we had of walking into a store, seeing an item, picking it up, putting it into a bag and going home. You know, that's the ultimate experience that we're trying to get to. Obviously, we can't replicate it, but the closer we get to it, the more likely we are that this is going to be something that continues growing at the kind of pace that we've been seeing it grow.
I'm excited to see more small businesses really take off, but also just stay small and just get more and more orders fulfilled. Like, I wonder what's going to happen to Etsy, because I know a lot of people still use Etsy, but at the same time, they also rather use, you know, something else that they can make more money at.
That's a great point, Taylor. At the end of the day, the amazing magic of e-commerce is everybody can be a business person. And everybody can open a business. Everybody can own a business. And that opportunity is extraordinary. And it's unique. It's unique for our generation of being in a place where we're able to create something and offer it to the world, literally the entire world. So that by itself is extraordinarily exciting. And as you provide tools to these small businesses that allow them to differentiate themselves in ways that compete with the giants who have much more resources, much more capabilities and funding, it's exciting to see how, you know, you're giving these smaller brands a slingshot, you know, using a biblical reference of being able to compete in ways that they wouldn't normally be able to compete without these tools.
Mm-hmm. This kind of also goes along with like supply chain transparency, right? This is just like another part of it, last mile.
And it's a critical part. Visibility will always be. Transparency, visibility is going to be a key part to the success in every stage. And we're trying to peel away this onion, right? And in so many ways, we're trying to get the customer to be on the top of this hierarchy and be able to really see everything that's going on, because they'll actually be embracing the experience. There's a big disconnect between customers and what they expect is actually happening when they place an order and when it actually happens. If you ever visit a fulfillment center or a 3PL, you realize that, oh my God, this feels like, you know, 19th century. Everybody's still running around and there's stuff flying everywhere. And the customer's saying, I hit checkout, so there's probably this, you know, trained pigeon that's flying over my building right now waiting, going to hand it off to a delivery person and be at my door, ding-dong, in a matter of minutes. Not realizing, like, we know what the reality is. You step out of your building, you look around, there's traffic, and there's, you know, there's a reality of rain and all the different things that can happen with your package. So part of that transparency that you mentioned, Taylor, helps the customer have a clear set of expectations that come more and more in line with e-commerce. And as you get closer to their expectations, you're just going to find success come a lot faster and easier.
What is next for Pretty Damn Quick?
So for us, we're relatively young, right? It's only been about a year now that we're in the U.S. market. So we're looking to grow. Yeah, we're looking to really grow into the U.S. market, educate more and more brands about the importance of delivery promise and delivering on your promise, getting the product out to more and more brands. We have some incredible brands today. Very proud of folks like Terry John, Harney's, even brands like Lulu Toilet, Begin Health. So much. There's so many brands out there using us today and in so many different ways, in so many different industries and different sizes. We're anxious and excited about the opportunity to get out to many more businesses. So 2023 is a year that we're going to focus primarily on the U.S. We have some installations in the UK and Canada, and we'll start looking at how we grow beyond the States and also potentially into other platforms as well. So we've already put some work into BigCommerce. We're going to be working with some headless solutions, but we'd like to see ourselves as part of a solution for anybody who's doing e-commerce today. You know, it's Amazon doesn't need us, but every other independent brand would benefit from us.
Exciting. That's really exciting. Well, it's been so great speaking with you. If people want to follow Pretty Damn Quick's journey, though, where can they keep up with you and where should they go to look for that information?
Sure. I mean, we're very active on LinkedIn. So you can look for myself, Avi Moskowitz, on LinkedIn. You can look for Pretty Damn Quick on LinkedIn. Of course, our website, prettydamnquick.com, is a good wealth of information. And yeah, and feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm really responsive to folks who have any kinds of questions about supply chain, about e-commerce, about delivery, checkout, virtually anything that you have a question about. I'm really happy to try and help in any which way we can.
Awesome. Well, Avi, it's been great talking to you and I'm excited to follow your journey. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity, Taylor. You have a great one.